Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer and WNYC, and you're invited to our new online community for job hunters. It's Brian Lehrer Show Facebook group called Help Wanted. Follow the stories of our five job-seeking bloggers, Naomi, Allison, Mary Lee, Lauren, and Jim. Share your career-building tips or start your own new discussion thread. Go to WNYC.org and click on Brian Lehrer Show for Help Wanted. Now, the four-year experiment of Google in China seems to be over after the web giant decided on Monday to end its own censorship program on Google searches. This morning, it looks like Google's own corporate pages have been hacked. The English language site listing top Google executives was temporarily changed to being all in Chinese. And the war of words between Google and the Chinese government seems to have taken a turn for the nasty there. Meanwhile, some other companies that do business with China are rethinking their relationships with Google. So what is this story all about? A corporation standing up for freedom of speech? A government bent on keeping information out of its people's hands? Or are there more dominant interests in play here that have far-reaching effects on the web and global speech? So joining us now to tackle these big questions for a few minutes is Siva Vaidyanathan, Associate Professor of Media Studies and Law at the University of Virginia, author of a blog and book project called The Googleization of Everything. And do we have Wong as well or no? It's just Siva, right? Okay. Siva, welcome back. And is this the Googleization of diplomacy? Is this pressure on the Chinese government from a private company that should be coming from the United States State Department?
Well, I'm sure there is pressure coming from the United States State Department. If you remember, 8 weeks ago, Google announced that their certain Gmail accounts had been compromised by some hackers who were located in the People's Republic of China. And the assumption has been that the government of the People's Republic of China had something to do with that, although Google has not come out straightforwardly and said that. A few days later, Secretary of State Clinton called Google out by name in her speech about Internet freedom. And so at that point, you start to see 8 weeks of pretty strong reaction by the Chinese government. They have lost face here. They have been embarrassed and both by a very high-profile global company and by the United States government. And so it's a very delicate time for a lot of different issues in the sort of three-way relationship there. Google doesn't want to appear to be too close to the Clinton administration. Already the Chinese government has accused Google of being in cahoots with American intelligence and American interests. Of course, there's a strong strain of nationalism within China, and so it's not surprising that somebody has taken this sort of action against Google in terms of hacking the public site. Again, it doesn't necessarily have to be government-sponsored for some, hooligan to decide to mess with Google. But Google's raising the ante pretty heavily. And what's really fascinating here is this whole thing started because of a security breach, and Google's decision on Monday to redirect its Chinese website to its Hong Kong website was seen as extremely provocative by the Chinese government.
And it's easy to think that Google is doing the right thing because it believes in the right thing. It's got a motto that's "Don't be evil." But you've written that a serious business problem grew out of the China situation, from something Google thought it could ignore, the censorship, to something it thought it could not ignore. What's the business problem?
So for nearly 5 years, Google had what it thought was a pretty good setup. It kept all the sensitive information offshore in servers, mostly in North America. So the Chinese government was not able to knock on the door and get information about dissidents or disrupt Google's operations in any other way. And only the web search, google.cn, was located within China. So it ran pretty fast, and it took advantage of pretty substantial use by Chinese web users, about 100 million people use Google regularly in China. That's only a third of the market. That's still a lot of people. And it looked like a pretty sweet deal. But as David Drummond revealed yesterday in an interview he did with James Fallows, and this was published on the Atlantic blog, Drummond is Google's top lawyer. He revealed that, in fact, since the Olympics, doing business with and in China has become increasingly untenable. China was more frequently blocking other Google services like YouTube. It was more frequently asking or demanding heavy censorship directly executed by Google. The whole business climate has been deteriorating, and the relations have been deteriorating for some time. And those security breaches, which are scary to the general sense of web commerce in the world, were really the last straw. And so I think Google was backed into a corner. It just didn't see the opportunity to do fruitful business in China in the short term. And so this move lets it continue to do business in China. It has its mobile phone operations still working with Chinese contractors. It has a research office that will continue in China. It will continue to sell ads and provide online music the way it has. But in a rather symbolic way, Google is no longer actively censoring and following the orders of the Chinese government. Instead, it's allowing its services to be passively, or allowing their services to be censored by the Chinese government directly. So nothing's going to change to benefit people in China in the short term. But Google has made a very strong statement that doing business in China right now is getting increasingly difficult.
You also wrote, this is a complex and potentially web-shattering move on Google's part. Does that refer to the companies who are hoping to play nice with China now severing their ties with Google?
Well, yeah, you know, that's starting to happen. There are a lot of Chinese-based companies that have pretty strong relationships with Google and use Google search services on their site, just like web companies around the world contract with Google for certain services. And, you know, it seems pretty clear that a lot of those companies are very concerned about their reputation with the Chinese government as well. And so, I mean, there's a lot of shaking out that's going to happen over the next few weeks with a lot of these firms. I think in the long term, we're going to hopefully see a lot of people in China stand up and say, you know, the practice of censorship is not in the best business interest of China. That's the only sort of argument that works. No one's going to be able to make a human rights argument within China. That doesn't go very far. But the sense that, you know, you're driving away multinational companies and strong links to the cosmopolitan business flows of the world, that's a real risk to the vision that even the Chinese leaders have for their own country.
We just have a minute left. What do you see happening next here? Obviously, so many people are inflamed over these changes.
Yeah, you know, Google's left itself with the ability to reestablish its relationship at any time, which is, you know, good business practice. In the meantime, you know, it remains to be seen whether this sort of stand, which, you know, certain people at Google, like Sergey Brin, are making as a moral stand, actually maintains that sort of veneer. You know, Google has encountered so many complex situations dealing with local concerns and laws. Right now it's fighting a web censorship regime in Australia. It's dealing with massive web censoring efforts in India. So China's not the only place where Google is part of the censorship system and not the only place where Google is trying to resist it. And so we're going to start to see in a lot of different places, including Western Europe, increased friction as Google tries to figure out just how much responsibility it has for what people experience over the web.
Siva Vaidyanathan, Associate Professor of Media Studies and Law at the University of Virginia, author of a blog and book project called The Googleization of Everything. Siva, thanks a lot.
Anytime, Brian. Thanks.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC, and we have Jeffrey Sachs from the Earth Institute standing by to talk about the explosion of cell phones in the developing world and how they're turning out to be a huge anti-poverty tool. Also, the conference that he's convening that's taking place in multiple major capitals around the world tomorrow, including here in New York and Beijing and elsewhere, called The State of the Planet. Jeffrey Sachs coming up in a minute.